In today's episode, we will be discussing weaponized incompetence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Who Said You Have To, where we discuss how society dictates to us who we must be and how we must live our lives. My name is Tina Mason, and I am an emotional trauma intuitive and an expert in human communication, as well as how the human mind creates disease in the body. I am also co-owner and co-founder of Free Will Healing.
My name is Laura Schmidt, and I have been a nurse for 17 years. I am also a registered yoga teacher with 500 hours of training. My focus is teaching gentle yoga movements to help those who deal with chronic pain. My true passion, though, is aligning the chakras to create balance and harmony within. I am also co-owner and co-founder of Free Will Healing. Tina and I know the things discussed today are not what society has taught us to believe, but I choose to believe in my own ability to see what is truth and what is not truth.
I challenge you to join us in believing your own ability to find your truth, not what society has dictated you must believe to be accepted or loved.
The truth is, you are loved exactly as you are, right here, right now. No human is more vital than another. You matter.
And you have the free will to walk your own path with no fear and no judgment. Laura and I encourage you to have faith in yourself.
And remember,
who said you have to?
So, Laura, what are we going to discuss today?
Weaponized incompetence. I knew it existed. I didn't know it had a name. Let me start there.
So let's start there. Yeah. What is weaponized incompetence? It is pretending that you're not able to do something so that somebody else steps in and does it for you. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So, not with my current husband, but
it's called being a mom.
right. Yeah. Not with my current husband. He's very capable. But I remember a past partner would not like the way I did dishes, right? And he wanted me to learn. And I did them the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And he would come back and fix them all himself. So at that point, I told him, fine, do it yourself. I don't consider that weaponized incompetence.
I
was doing it, mm-hmm. but I think he considered it because he kept saying, you're acting like you don't know how to do it. I'm like, no, dude, this is the way I'm doing it.
Yeah, there's a big difference between I'm going to do it the way I want to. I see it, comprehend, understand, and have the ability to do it the way you do it. I choose not to because I don't agree with
it. Yeah,
I
want to do it
weaponized.
My way.
Yeah, and weaponized incompetence is when. If you were like, I just can't get it. And so he has to do the dishes because every time you do the dishes, a glass just magically breaks.
My husband probably thinks I do it with our bills. But he does have such a detailed, computerized method that I honestly cannot. I'm like, if I can get a piece of paper and do it myself, I can do it. But if you want it to look like this with your spreadsheets and all that stuff, you're gonna have to do it yourself.
Yeah.
So not weaponized incompetence because I could do it my way, but I know he would not like it if I did it on pen and paper.
Weaponized incompetence, it's been a big problem in the workforce and at home and just in our lives for a very long time. There was just no word for it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like I'm gonna give you an example, right?
Do so.
This was something that I believe was on TikTok or something. This actually went viral like crazy, right? So it says, when a woman jokingly shared her grocery list for her husband, a list that included pictures of the items and a meticulously hand-drawn map of the store, it went viral, but for the wrong reasons. The comment section was flooded with shouts of weaponized incompetency. The thing is, I don't think that's the wrong reason it went viral. I think that's the right reason.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't her idea. Like, she thought it was going to, or maybe he posted it, whoever posted it. And they were like, oh, look how cute.
How funny.
Like,
yeah.
How funny that he's so stupid. He has to, but she has learned that he tries to get out of that grocery list so much that she's like, this is a smart lady.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to make it impossible.
Yeah, you have no, because I get about 25 phone calls if I send my husband to the supermarket because he doesn't go very often. So it takes him a while to find it and then the right brand and blah, blah, blah. Because I usually take care of cooking side.
Right.
He does other things in the household. We split fairly. I'm not complaining about any of that. But he will call like, is this the right brand? Is this the right size? Is it, where is it? You know, when I do my grocery list, my warrior brain, I have the store mapped out, and I know each aisle, what's in each aisle, and I do my list, and it takes me directly to where I need to go, right? I don't do that for him because here's a list of what we need. Go. That's just my
well, that
step.
He is, you are definitely a warrior.
Yes.
And he is very meticulous. Mm-hmm. He uses as many words as possible. You use as little words as possible. So that makes perfect sense to me that you would say potatoes, chips, milk, you know, and he would say,
is it the white potato, the red potato, the big potato, the baked potato, the et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Yes.
So and I am not in no way, shape or form saying that he's doing any weaponized. It's just the way he is detail oriented that from now, you know, usually I'm like, you know what, I'll just go to the store because I'm in and out.
Right. And, you know, that actually brings us to the next little thing that I wanted to point out was, so there was this other video on TikTok and it was showing a video of this woman's husband and he was napping. And this was, he had told his wife that he would watch the baby so that she could take a shower. Mm-hmm. And so when she comes out of the shower, the baby's just cruising around doing its own thing and he's asleep.
You took that very seriously.
So what does that, and you're a mom, right? So what does that immediately do? Okay, I can't trust him to be alone with the baby. And he says,
I'm out of it.
And he's like, whoop, I just dodged a bullet. Yeah. I don't have to worry about it now. I don't have to watch the baby. Dude, seriously?
Do you think a lot of it is conscious?
So your wife can take a shower?
Yeah. Do you think a lot of it is conscious, though?
No.
Okay.
I actually don't.
Yeah.
I actually don't because, like, I think that it literally is maybe they really don't know how to do it or they don't feel comfortable with it or whatever. And so what happens when your brain starts to shut down because you feel overwhelmed, you get tired, you nap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Did he mean to take a nap?
Hopefully not.
Or and maybe, you know what? Maybe that's his style of watching the baby.
Yeah. I could hear it if it got hurt.
Yeah.
So and there's the new hashtag for weaponized incompetence. Like it's got 53.5 million views.
Isn't that crazy?
Apparently, I guess since now it has a name, people are able to refer to it. Because I've heard all my life, like, oh, he does it wrong because he just doesn't want to do it. Or she doesn't want to do it, so she acts like she can't do it.
Right.
And it never had an official name.
Exactly. I mean, like, we've seen this our whole lives in many different arenas, right? It's just the fact that we called them lazy. Like when I was growing up, it was just like,
they just don't want to do it.
They're lazy.
Yeah.
You know how to do it. You're just being lazy, you know? But now a lot of the millennials and the, you know, I don't even.
They like names for stuff.
Yeah. And like the Gen Zs and everything. They like to have a title for it, you know, like something that they can say, put it in a box.
Throw it back at you.
Put it in a box.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, 53 million views on weaponized incompetency. Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah. But I'm intrigued to see where this is going to go future-wise because not everything is weaponized incompetence. You know, it's like when we did the podcast on narcissism where it's thrown out so much these days. Oh, he's a narcissist. She's a narcissist because everybody's learning that word and what it means. So is any excuse now going to be thrown back in your face saying that's weaponized incompetence.
Well, how do you protect yourself against that? Well, you listen to this podcast because we're going to explain to you. We're going to explain to you the difference between weaponized incompetence and laziness.
Yeah. or true incompetence.
Yeah. Or just true not having the ability to learn it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are certain things that there's no way brain surgery couldn't do it. That would gross me out so bad. Any kind of like in a medical setting, unless it was an emergency situation on the side of the road, I wouldn't be able to learn it because I would have to have a puke bucket next to me.
Yeah.
I don't think that I am incompetent to, it's just not the way my brain works.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? But, and the thing is that this phenomenon, it's not just between husband and wife, right? And it's not just women either. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like that, that are
receiving,
right? This plays out in, And I'm going to give you examples. So in your friendships, right, there's always tends to be that one friend who shoulders the responsibility for all the group get-togethers or evenings out.
Oh, you plan it so good. You're such a good hostess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because weaponized incompetence is they act like you're so much more superior than me you're so much better at it than me. You do it because you're so good at it, you know? And women do, you know, when I was growing up, I was literally taught by society, if you play the helpless female when you don't want to do physical labor, you can get a man to do that.
But I'm going to go on that one and be like, some men enjoy that because they come in on their white stallion and I'm here to save the day.
It's still weaponized incompetency.
I'm not saying it's not. Excuse me. It gets fed as well.
Well, yeah. and that was, but again, that was how society kind of said, okay, men.
Let the men take care of you.
Men, this is your opportunity to be the hero. And women, you can get out of doing things you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And how many times have you heard your children say, I just can't pick up my room. Or I can't do the dishes. Or I can't. Or one of my beautiful daughters, their favorite thing would always be, I can't do the laundry because, you know, I put whites in with reds.
Yeah.
And then you feel comfortable letting them do your laundry after that?
No. It's funny because my mom would tell us, like, pick up the table. And we'd piss her off and we'd actually, like, all of us, like,
pick up the table. Where do you want it, Mom?
Like, that's what you told us.
I think that's just being a smart ass.
Yes, I know. It just came to my mind when you said that.
That is very, very funny. But you know, this, it plays out. It can be something that happens in every single facet of our life, right? Mm-hmm. One of the places that I see it a lot is in the workforce.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because especially
people pick up their slack.
And again, for Laura and I, because we're mature, beautiful women, so we've been around a while. I remember the expectation when I was, you know, 18, 19 years old, that the women, the secretaries, you know, women were secretaries and they came in and they made the coffee.
Yes.
Or
had it nice and ready.
Or if, you know, one of the men would want a cup of coffee. Hey, honey, do you mind getting me a cup of coffee? But they would never say to another man, hey, dude, you mind getting me a cup of coffee?
No.
You know, I'm here working such – I'm a hardworking man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just don't know how to work that machine.
I just don't know how to work. I just don't know how. Mm. And they would put too much coffee in it on purpose so that – or make it boil
super
over
black,
or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, weaponized incompetence. Yeah. But it's not just women. Again,
yes.
If you have a primarily female workplace and you have a man in there – how many times do you think women are going to say,
oh, help me lift the heavy box.
It's too heavy for me. Or if he wasn't there, you'd be throwing three of them over your shoulder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And also it happens in age, like weaponized in age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you're younger and healthier. You can go up and down those steps.
Well, I do that to my kids.
Well, that's called being in charge. There's a difference.
I'm like, mom's tired. You go downstairs and take that to Tina.
Well, but mom's tired.
Yeah.
You're not saying you can't do it.
Oh, no, for sure.
You're saying, hey, look, I'm tired. I've been doing crap all day. You do it.
Yes.
That's giving an order.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you know, most this weaponized incompetence, like many things, so it went viral during our pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody was almost under so much duress at home, you know, and in the workplace, some people couldn't show up to work for X, Y, or Z, and everybody was short-staffed, and nobody wanted to take on extra things, and it's like, nope, I don't know how to do that.
Right.
You take it over.
Well, and not only that, you think about, so you're, because a lot of places just shut down for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you have a husband and a wife who normally, let's say, okay, well, we'll just say partners. So you have two partners, right, that have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to go with that. Normally, they're at work, the kids are at school, right, and they don't deal with every single day for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Breakfast, lunch, dinner.
School.
You know, the baby is at daycare. So if you're trying to do work or whatever, catch up on something, you don't normally have a baby crying or, you know, and a lot of those times, the one partner still had the expectation of, well, but on the weekends you do all this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work or I'm trying to rest or I'm, you know.
Slack.
And I know that we were reading one article about that gentleman who said that he had a man who said that he couldn't put diapers on his children.
Yeah, this every time I put them on, they fall off. Well, learn. Watch a YouTube video, idiot.
Yeah.
That one
that's
was a
scary.
Lame-ass excuse. Yeah.
That's scary, if that is to be believed. That is pretty scary. But anyways.
And it says since the onset of the pandemic that mothers were – more than three times as likely as fathers to shoulder the majority of household and parenting labor.
Even though they're both at home.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are one and a half times more likely than dads to spend an extra three or more hours on chores and childcare. Yeah.
I am blessed, luckily. My husband and I share it. And sometimes even I go to bed first. And he's like, how do you always get to bed first? I'm like, 'cause I did my shit and I'm in bed.
Well, because he's a night owl. He's a night owl.
That's true. But it's like, and I got all my shit done. I'm in bed.
And, you know, I am you and I are both very, very fortunate. We both have really amazing husbands.
Yes.
Laura and I run a business. We own a business called Free Will Healing, and it is holistic energy healing. We have several practitioners here, mm-hmm. and we do two podcasts,
yes.
and sometimes we have long hours.
Yes.
You know, we are both very blessed that both of our husbands work from home.
Yes.
And so when I come home, I'm just going to talk about me. When I come home, 99.9% of the time, my husband has, you know, he's done the dishes. He has cleaned the house,
yeah.
or, you know, at least vacuumed or whatever. And he very often will text me and, you know, midday and say, hey, is there something you want me to take out of the fridge for dinner?
Yeah.
Whatever. Or
yeah.
something I can get started for
yeah.
dinner.
And I don't think any of them have used the excuse of, I just don't know how to do it, so I'm not going to
no.
do it.
Well, Lance and the potatoes.
The potatoes, yes. But he was trying.
He was willing to do it.
He was just trying.
He just wanted instructions.
Yes.
He wasn't saying, I can't do it.
He was just saying,
you didn't give him the proper directions.
I didn't detail it enough. Yes.
You know, we love you, Lance. So before anybody says, you know, well, that's not fair that your husband does all of that stuff, let us go back and remember. What you may not remember is my husband was in the United States Army for mm-hmm. 20 years, and I did everything so that he could literally get up and he chose to, you know, we had a long talk before we started Free Will Healing, and he said, look, it is your turn for your dream. So it is a give and take.
Yeah,
we've been
definitely.
Actually, Friday will be our 27th wedding anniversary. Can I get a round of applause for that?
Woo-hoo.
27 years. We've been together 28. But anyway, so back to the weaponized incompetency. There was actually another poll, a Gallup poll. It was
yeah.
a study from 2020. So still during that pandemic time
yeah.
frame, right? And it showed that even among equal-minded millennial couples, it was gender rather than the earnings of the individual that shaped the division of household labor. Husbands, boyfriends, new dads tend to fall back into their father's and grandfather's ideas about how things are done domestically,
yeah.
such as, I'll take care of the relatively few tasks that need to be done outside. You handle the inside of the house and the lion's share of the childcare. And on the surface level, it looks like, you know, for the woman in this scenario,
mm-hmm.
it looks like you're nagging about chores to the person who defers to you're so much better at it,
yeah.
though. You know, the kids respond better to you or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
They're used to you.
Yeah. But on a deeper level, the person that it's being put upon, they are experiencing
yeah.
not being able to trust or turn to their partner for support.
Yeah.
Hey, been there. You know,
yeah.
it is very difficult when, and this is where it starts messing with the intimacy
mm-hmm.
of the relationship, right? Because especially for someone like myself, who has had past sexual trauma in my childhood,
yeah.
I have to have a big bond of trust between me and my husband to
yeah.
be intimate, right? If my husband were doing things to weaponized incompetency,
mm-hmm.
And it's subconscious. So it's not even like I'm like,
yeah.
it's not even like my brain's like, he did that, therefore now I don't trust.
Yes.
Right? Then that starts creating intimacy issues.
Yeah, it has a big trickle effect.
Yes. And
you
know what?
That.
Trust, communication, and intimacy are vital
yeah.
in a long and healthy marriage.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, if you have like the father that fell asleep in the napping, that you lose that trust. You know, and then if you do in the future have to leave your child with the person that is acting incapable or isn't capable, then the whole time you're gone, you're
panicked.
In fear and panicked that the child's not being watched. But it's your partner, right? And
yeah, and
you
you're calling
be able to trust them.
And you're calling 75 times saying,
to make sure,
"Are you awake?
Yeah,
are you awake?
Yes,
are you awake?
Yeah,
you know."
And that you know, it says. Of course, it's not always purposeful like we were talking about. Like, are they doing this on purpose?
Right.
They know they're doing it. You know, some people, they just cannot cook to save
right.
their lives.
Right. It's just not their forte.
Yeah,
it's not
so,
how their brain works.
Yeah. But, you know, the weaponized incompetence, it comes from a deeper belief that, get this, that they think that task is beneath them.
Right.
Like, I don't exactly. do dishes. You're the woman. My mom did the dishes. My dad stood over and was reading the newspaper while your mom, mom did the dishes, right?
Exactly. That's, mom does the laundry. Yeah. Or even,
and vice versa. We're not harping on men.
Of, you know, having a woman say, well, I can't go outside and mow the
grass.
Lawn.
Yeah.
That's a man's job.
Yeah.
And how many times have you heard that? That's a man's job or that's a woman's job.
Ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. And I've had the partner in the past where I take care of the outside. Well, you only mow the grass like once a month, fucker. I'm like, not fair. So that quickly ended.
Oh, my goodness. So please feel free to request to be a guest and maybe share some stories of, you know, weaponized incompetence that you have experienced in your life.
House, work, wherever.
Request to be a guest so that you can make Laura and I laugh with a story. So anyways, going back to what Laura was saying about the weaponized incompetence coming from that deep belief that whatever that chore is beneath that person.
Yeah.
It's a passive aggressive way of putting the labor back on the person that you don't respect enough to step up for.
Damn.
That's some powerful words that you do not respect them enough to see that they need your help and they need you to step up. Even though you believe that job is beneath you, right?
Yeah.
And there's some seriously deeper issues in that relationship. If you believe that you are better than changing a diaper, doing dishes, whatever it is.
Yes. Just pretending that you don't know how to do the basics.
Right. That's like ridiculous. Shopping or cooking, housekeeping.
And it's like, and nowadays, there's no excuse.
No.
When
we were growing up,
You know, that you'd have to go to the library and get an encyclopedia and figure out. And I don't even think that kind of stuff was in there. Although there were nice magazines that I've seen in the past about how women should dress and do the chores. But that's another topic. But nowadays I just
want to point out that my pants today would not be in there.
They're not appropriate.
They are not appropriate. I am wearing black leggings that say badass down the side of them.
So, but nowadays with YouTube and TikTok, like my son comes in all the time. He's like, Mom, there's a recipe on TikTok I want to try, right? So there is no excuse to find out.
You can find anything. You can Google anything.
So, no, people, don't let your partner or coworker come up with an excuse unless, like you said, brain surgery. Something specific, right? But on the day-to-day chores, no excuses.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that the impact on, you know, going back to a partnership, the impact on the partner it's devastating.
Well, you lose because that trust.
It can make you feel like you're crazy because on the surface level, it looks like, you know, again, like you're just nagging or, you know, just being, bugging them and being like,
constantly.
You know, I have the poor suffering woman, blah, 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 blah. You know, like this gentleman says, this one therapist, his name is Kurt Smith, and he's a therapist in Roseville, California. And he works with men, and he sees it so much that he has his own word for it, and he calls it faking incompetence. And this is the same guy that told the story about the diaper.
Okay.
Like having to fall, you know, like falling off of the child and everything.
I mean, could anybody think that that is an actual excuse?
And, you know, the thing is that truly, honestly, because I've changed a diaper or two in my lifetime, and truly, honestly, no. Mm-hmm. It's just a no. They are so idiot-proof nowadays. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Not going to happen. So, Laura, what is the next?
Yeah. Well, you know, and of course, we've already said that, of course, that women are guilty as well. And, you know, it says here, the same gentleman, he says he's worked with multiple people, many who were women, but not all, who've claimed, I'm not good with numbers, to explain, you know, why they couldn't be part of the managing the household finances. But it's women who are conditioned to stare down a mess and figure it's easier to just do it themselves.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Yeah. If they're taking too long or if it's, you know. I'll just do it myself.
And that's how we teach our children weaponized incompetence.
Yeah.
You know, Sydney, my youngest, used to literally every time we would go grocery shopping, every single time when we would get, and it wouldn't matter if she peed at the store, if she peed on the way to the house.
Yeah.
When we got home and it was time to unload groceries,
she had to
pee. Every single time she would take in a bag and say, I need to go to the bathroom, and literally
be gone the whole time.
Would not come back out until
perfect.
Until they, you know, all the groceries had been
perfect
picked
weaponized.
Up.
Yes. Yes.
So it was absolutely insane.
We have a guest here is going to join us. Namaste, City Life.
Oh, namaste.
Hello.
We love our namaste. How are you, sweet girl?
Hi. Hi again. I'm doing well. How are you, ladies?
We are doing really good. Well. What do you got for us today, sweet girl?
All right. So I was listening to you and I was thinking of myself about a year ago when I moved in with my boyfriend, and I was trying to figure out how to handle living together all of a sudden and sharing the chores of the house. And I was trying to figure out a way to do it where, you know, I don't cause any sort of like extra stress, but right. I had to figure out a way to make some things clear from the beginning, because I felt like, you know, sometimes he would sit down and watch TV a lot longer or a lot more than me, for example, right? When I was stressing about different things around the house.
Right.
And I started reading during my train rides to work. I found a book, I think it was called Drop the Ball. And it was talking about how women deal with different tasks and how we can figure out ways to share the tasks and make sure we explain to that other person that we are like maybe disappointed or whatever it is that we're feeling on how much we actually have on our plate. Because I think sometimes it's not very clear either.
Will you say the name of that book one more time for me? That sounds like a really great book.
Yes, it is. I think it's called Drop the Ball, Achieving More by Doing Less.
That's awesome.
And it's by Tiffany Dufu, I believe. Yeah. I think you can find it like Amazon on a Kindle or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. It's actually very helpful.
If you're listening to this not on Wisdom, but on our podcast, Who Said You Have To, we will put the link to the book in our show notes. Please go on, Namaste.
Okay. Yeah,
so go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. So reading this book, I try to figure out how I can communicate basically a little bit more effectively instead of being kind of aggressive, right? Because sometimes I feel like we get frustrated and we're like, well, you know, you throw out the trash, or like, you know, you whatever, right? And then it's like it brings a hostile environment, and then the other person thinks that we are like fighting them, or we're creating this whole like dramatic situation when it doesn't necessarily happen because we like don't like that person, but like we're trying to communicate in a possibly not the best way.
Right.
That we need to start finding a better way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think one of those things that they were talking about in the book was creating lists, creating to-do lists and going through them with your partner and kind of say, okay, I think I can handle this things either because I'm better at them or because I have the time or because I can squeeze them during my commute to work or whatever. And then maybe you can do the rest. And I started doing little things like that.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's funny. My husband and I, what we do is we'll make a list, and then each one of us will like pick something off the list, and we keep picking until the list is empty. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
So that way it's not a, like, it just feels more fair.
Does one pick the easiest task more than the other?
We both go for the easiest task first. And then when it gets to the hard ones, but then you feel like, okay, I agree to this. I pick this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it doesn't feel like it's being put on you.
Possibility. Yes, exactly. And you have that accountability and you share this journey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Namaste. We're so happy to hear from you. You always have such amazing insight, and you know, we love wisdom and we love having people come on and share things with us. Mm-hmm. And you always help Laura and I to see a different perspective, and we truly, truly appreciate you.
Yes, thank you. I love listening to you. I'm going to stay on here for a little longer.
All right, sweet girl. Thank you. You have a good rest of your day. And we did have another person waiting in the queue, but they must have had to go. Yes. If you have the time, please feel free to request to be a guest again. Yeah. But we're going to go ahead and I love Namaste. Yes. I love the name, too. It's such a beautiful name. So there's a little story in here that this lady recounts. She's a small business owner in Oregon. Laura, you want to read it?
Okay. I can read it. She says she has seen both her little brother and her boyfriend default to weaponized incompetence to get out of doing something unpleasant. Growing up, she says, she was doing dishes by the age of 8 and doing laundry, vacuuming, and cleaning the house as a preteen. Meanwhile, her 14-year-old brother still has their mother doing his laundry. He rarely washes his own dishes and never cooks for himself, claiming he doesn't know how to do it, she said. When he comes to stay with her and her husband, he magically knows how to do all that and more, she said. She hears her brother is suddenly capable of doing adult things when he stays at their dad's house every other weekend. And when she moved in with her now husband, she discovered he pulled some of the same tricks.
So some
of those flags came up.
Yep. So where does weaponized incompetency start?
It's a learned behavior.
It is a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. And it is when, you know, children are growing up, especially when you have one male, one female.
Yeah.
Right. That's where those societal norms come in of, no, you don't have to do the dishes because you're a boy, or you don't have to go out and chop wood because you're a girl.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little something.
There's a lot of wood chopping going on in your house?
When we lived in Washington. Oh, Laura. When we lived in Washington and we had a wood burning stove, yeah, right, to help heat the house, yeah, and cut down on cost, the girls would come out and they hated it, yeah, you know, but
they didn't
come
have
out.
An excuse. Yeah.
Nope, there wasn't. Well, we didn't have any boys, so.
Yeah. Gots to do it.
There you go. So, but they would help chop. Well, usually Terry would do the chopping just strength wise, but they'd stack wood. They'd help bring wood from out in the field up into the, yeah, house, you know. But a lot of times, if you have a male and a female, those societal norms.
Oh, yeah. Send the boy to do the.
You know, start getting out into.
And I look back at my brothers, and I mean, it's just the way everybody was taught, you know, they did the outside chores and I helped my mom with the inside chores, but I wanted to go do the outside ones. They were more fun.
Yeah. There you go. And you know, there is actually a gentleman, he's a writer named Matthew Frey, and he actually landed a book deal after his wife divorced him. And the name of the book is She Divorced Me Because I Left the Dishes.
Left dishes by the sink.
Yeah. While that sounds like a silly, funny thing, you know, he goes on and he says, you know, my wife didn't want to be my mother. She wanted to be my partner. She wanted me to apply all of my intelligence and learning capabilities to the logistics of managing our lives and our household. You know, mm-hmm, she wanted me to figure out all of the things that needed to be done and devise my own methods of task management,
right,
you know. And he says in there, he says, I wish that I could remember, you know, what seemed so unreasonable to me at that time.
Yeah.
You know, like he fought against it.
And a lot of it goes, I think we were actually talking about this the other day, of people doing the dishes. And like I talked at the beginning as well, and they're not doing it to your expectations, right?
Right.
It's like, if you ask somebody to do the dishes, they're going to do them the way they want. You
exactly.
can't hold them to that expectation. And then, you know, be mad at them or be upset and tell them you're not doing it right and go back and do it again. You're just teaching them, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to do it.
You're creating
your own weaponized
yeah.
counter weaponized incompetence because you're let them do it.
Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, from Matthew's book is that it wasn't that she didn't like the way he was doing the dishes. It was the fact that he wasn't doing them at all.
Or his view of why. Who knows what he told her why he wasn't doing them.
Right. And he says, you know, like in hindsight, when he's not in it, now that he's kind of grown as a human and he looks back and he's like, why did I think that was unreasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Why did I believe that she needed to do the dishes?
Yeah.
Well, you believe that because that was what either what you grow up with or what, you know, your culture, your society told you that is what a woman does and that you are, you know, goes back to our episode on societal gender roles.
Yeah.
You know, you are not a man.
Yeah.
you know, if you change a baby's diaper or if you do the dishes. Let me tell you something. My 6'1", 200-pound, all-man military guy vacuums my house, does the dishes.
In an apron, naked.
Oh, I wish. Hey, you know, my anniversary's coming up. And still has a date night with me where we take dance lessons. And, you know, he changed diapers with our girls. Yeah. And, I mean, he's the most manly man that I know most days.
Manly man.
But yet he has no problem sharing in those responsibilities.
Yeah.
Because it's his house, too.
Right. You live in there.
Those are his children, too.
Fudger. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And there's a total difference between just the ignorance and the willful.
Oh.
Ignorance of claiming, I just don't know how. Right. Are you?
Ignorance.
We've talked about it before. I struggle with math.
Right.
Right. That's in my whole life. I can do it, but I struggle with it.
Right.
Versus, I just don't want to do it. So right. I act like I can't do it.
Right. There's a huge difference because ignorance implies the inability to learn or a great difficulty to learn. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And willful ignorance is I'm purposely not
going to learn at all.
I don't want to learn it because I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, one of them is a learning disability, which makes you an asshole if you're going to be chastising them for that. And the other one is I shouldn't have to because I'm above you. I shouldn't have to learn that because that's really beneath me.
Yeah.
So
and shame on you, any parents, if you're raising your kids that way.
Right. Exactly. Absolutely. Yes. We're going to talk a little bit more about weaponized incompetency in the workplace.
In the workplace. Yeah. Because all this was about chores, but.
Yeah, and really weaponized incompetency, like the actual terminology, I don't know when the term was actually created, mm-hmm. but it went viral during the pandemic.
The pandemic, yeah.
Because that is, you know, like we discussed before, is when people were starting to get really frustrated being home with their spouse and one was doing all the work and doing their job.
And I think people just started noticing, they're like, hey, we're both home. We're not working.
Right.
Why am I still doing all of this?
It took us out of the norm.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the thing is, this has been going on for a millennium and it's been discussed behind closed doors at the office for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, around the water cooler, if you will, you know what I mean? We just, like you said before, we just didn't have a name for
mm-hmm.
it, but it's been happening from the beginning of time. And there is a study, Laura, will you share that study with us?
Yeah, it's from leanin.org and McKinsey and Company. And here they suggest that women leaders and managers took on even more invisible work during the pandemic. As the researchers explained, women take necessary tasks that benefit office culture but are often seen as office housework. Fixing this dynamic might require helping an employee with a new baby deal with work-life challenges, ensuring that everyone's workloads are manageable during the pandemic, or championing diversity, equity, and inclusion programs.
Equality,
yes.
You know, because, again, I totally understand if there's a new mom,
mm-hmm.
most likely if she's having some trouble adjusting or, you know, balancing things, I totally get having another woman who's had a child.
Who has experienced it,
mm-hmm. not because she's a woman.
No.
But because she's given birth.
Yeah.
Say, hey, here, you know, or have a single dad. Say, hey, been there, done that. This is how I did it or whatever. But don't choose a woman because that's woman's work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's having trouble with cooking, don't
call out the woman.
Yeah, don't say, is there any women here who can help this person? Yeah. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yes.
Everyone has been asked to do more
with less
during the pandemic.
Yes.
A lot of the things that we read, it seems to be women experiencing like that unspoken expectation that they seek out or recognize and gratefully take on tasks and responsibilities at a higher rate than men.
Yeah, I think it's just our
societal.
We were brought up serving nature. We want everybody to be happy and, you know, we'll clean the office if we're low on staff and we'll, you know, bring in donuts to make everybody happy.
I like donuts.
Too.
I love donuts. Which, by the way, can I just tell you, little butthurt when your daughter came down and said, Mom, can I have a donut? And you hadn't told me you had donuts.
I did. They were Walmart donuts, so I didn't figure.
Point taken.
You'd want. They weren't special like the ones you got the other day.
Point taken. All right. I'm okay with it. Okay. So what is the easiest way to curb weaponized incompetency?
call it out.
That's the
bring
right.
attention to there it. Let them know. Let them know. I know what you're doing.
Exactly. And this this one study says to call it out repeatedly and without mm-hmm. reservation or worry that you'll hurt someone's feelings. Emphasize that all you're looking for is effort and that you will want the effort made consistently.
E is for effort.
And it says don't be deterred. If they say that if they say their work will be low quality as a result of them doing the task,
oh gosh, yeah,
then take a step back and trust that your partner is fully capable or at least capable of learning any one chore that you've been doing. I love like when it says that it's going to be low quality, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. I'm not that practice that's makes on, perfect, yeah, motherfucker.
And that's on you. That's on you.
Practice makes perfect. Yeah. So try harder.
Yes. And if you're the incompetent one,
we have something for you too.
Yeah, you need to recognize that, you know, acting ignorant or not taking the time to learn it is actually hurting your partner, right?
Yeah.
You need an adult partner. We didn't marry somebody to be
a mother. I don't want another
mother.
Child.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't want another
child. A fully
child.
Capable partner. You know, try truly struggling to thoroughly wash the dishes or replace your car's oil filter because no one's ever taught you. How-to videos, like we said.
On YouTube.
On YouTube are a godsend. My husband's great at that. He'll literally get on YouTube and search videos. He's got more patience for that stuff mm-hmm. than I do.
And that being said, though, if you're the person who normally does it and your partner steps up and says, hey, let me do that for you this time, yeah. or let me do that, let me help, don't ride their ass if they don't do it the
if
way
they
you
didn't do it. Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Even your kids.
Even
oh, the
your kids
is the worst.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen, you know, I've witnessed kids do dishes and then the parents are like, no, you need to put them in this way. Like my daughter was doing dishes the other day. They're putting the dishes in. They're not the way that I face them. And she asked me, Mom, is this okay? And I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But as long as they're in there, they're going to get washed somehow.
And it is absolutely okay to say, I'm going to show you how I do it. But if you find another way that works for you, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. Because if you want the help, take what you can get.
Yes,
what you can. Because you know what I have found a lot of times? Somebody else may find a better way. And you look at it and go,
why didn't I think of that?
Look
yeah.
at that. Yes. Look at that. That's you know, one me. Of the things when Sydney started a new job and my youngest daughter, who's 21, and she is very, very, she's progressing very quickly mm-hmm. at this place. One of the reasons I believe that she is progressing at such a fast rate is, you know, her supervisor told her, she said, I love that you're not afraid to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not afraid to, like, if you don't know something, because a lot of times, especially youth now, they are afraid of looking stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
They don't wanna...
But the thing is that when you do it wrong, not only are you going to look stupid, you're going to look incompetent because you didn't ask.
And then when you do it wrong and they're like, why didn't you ask?
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that, you know, my daughter always says is that, when, you know, this lady, her supervisor came to her and everything, she said, well, my mom always told me that there is no stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I don't know, the way I learn is by asking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if I have to ask more than once, that's okay. You know, if I didn't get it.
Yeah, if you didn't get it.
Then, yeah. Or if I forgot.
Unless somebody's repeated something to you three times and you still don't get it.
Or.
And you're like, yeah.
So no dig on my husband. I love you, Terry. But one of the things that drives me crazy with Mace is that I'll say something. Like I'll say, hey, we need to leave at 6:30 to go to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we'll talk about something else. And then he'll say, so what time are we going to go? Okay, remember 30 seconds ago when I said it's 6:30?
Yeah. He was already thinking in the next thought while you were saying the back thought.
Yeah.
No, but you know when somebody's talking to you and you can't understand what they're saying. And that by the third time, you're like, okay, I'm just going to forget. It's not important. Not while I'm learning something. I'm just when somebody's chit-chatting with me.
Well, and also, you know, when you are trying to explain something to somebody, going into that space of the second time you repeat it, they don't get it,
mm-hmm.
change your wording.
Oh.
You need to change your wording because there is a word in there that's they're
blocking
not.
Blocking them up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neither here nor not in this topic, but I just find it funny because I've done it sometimes where I'm like, I don't know what you're saying.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, just completing household chores and making sure your kid, you know, gets to the doctor, is on time for important things. You know, it's important for keeping the love alive, having regular dates, physical intimacy, you know, showing that you can trust your partner. Yeah, if there's a certain chore you hate, it's okay to admit, like, oh my God, like my husband can't stand doing toilets.
Yeah.
And he told me from day one, he's like, I cannot stand doing toilets. And I'm like, oh, they don't get done very often, but I'm like, okay, I don't care.
I hate doing laundry.
Yeah.
And Terry does the laundry.
And you just admit it, right? And just compromise. You do the toilets, I'll do something else.
As humans, right? As we just did a podcast earlier today about humanity, like bringing back humanity, right? Yeah. As humans, what can we do? What can we do about weaponized incompetence? Well, we can stop minimizing it.
Yes.
The internet's tendency to laugh off woefully undeveloped partners is probably, it is more than probably, it's more harmful than we realize.
Yeah.
Because
but you get all the comments of people going, haha, you know, hilarious. Yeah. My husband does it too. They just write it off.
Yeah. But the problem is that it's not cute or funny.
No.
It's unfair and it's stressful to the other partner.
Yeah.
And partners would benefit from talking about it, you know, like Namaste said, talk about it and put your family system back into a fair balance. You know, how do we as individuals help? Well, we can all make the conscious choice to change our perception of the power imbalances being something to endure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, well, this is just the way it's always been.
Yeah.
And instead we recognize it for the manipulation that it is. And we speak up.
We speak up repeatedly. Yeah. And speak up and not the nagging, because a lot of people turn it into you're just nagging.
Right.
So it's like, sit down. You know, write out a list if you need to. I'm big on lists. Write out a list and, you know, I do this, and this. You do this, you know. Why are you not helping me with this? Well, I don't know how. Okay, well, let's talk about it. Or I just can't stand doing that. Can we swap something out?
Right.
Just stop acting ignorant and stop being that female that I can't do it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or being the man who says, I don't want to drop the baby, so I can't hold that baby, you know, while you're going to the bathroom. You'll just have to hold the baby while you're on the toilet.
Yeah. My hands are big.
I have to tell a quick story. So, well, we're going to be wrapping up here pretty soon. Yeah. So if anybody wants to come on as a guest, please take the opportunity now while I tell this story. So when Terry and I, Terry was in the military, still relatively new, right? He comes home and he tells me about, just met this great guy. He's new to our unit. He's this awesome person, blah, 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 blah. They've invited us over to their house for a barbecue. Well, Sydney was an infant. Like, I think maybe she might have been like a month old at that, right? And I was like, okay, fine. Well, the night before, I had been up all night with her. I was just absolutely exhausted. And then, you know, I was up the next morning with Kayla. Mm-hmm. And Terry was taking care of Sydney so that I could take care of Kayla, like giving me a break. He really has always been a really great dad and a great partner in that aspect. And anyway, so we get to this person's house, right? I haven't eaten. My milk production was down because I hadn't had anything to eat. I wasn't hydrating because I was just exhausted. We get to this house and I shit you not, the food had just gotten ready and Terry takes Sydney from me and says, you go make yourself a plate. You need to eat. And this man says to my husband, he takes the baby, my baby, into his grubby little paws, and he said, in this house, men eat first.
No shit. I would have turned around and walked out the door.
Terry instantly turned and, like, kicked me in my foot, like, don't, because he knew I was already tired.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Well, in this family, motherfucker, let me tell you what we do.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, I took that deep breath, you know? And I was like,
man.
And Terry said, well, you know, she's been up all night and blah, 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 blah.
Giving excuses as to why he's being a nice guy and letting you
exactly.
eat.
Exactly. And he said, but that's a woman's job.
Oh, he didn't.
How long do you think I was able to keep quiet?
Yeah.
So because his wife was very, very nice, and you could see the panic on her face of, like, she's in there making a plate for my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just putting everything on, because she's trying to fulfill that, you know, her husband needs to eat before she gets in here, you know? And the men all sat at one table.
Oh, what the hell? Yeah. It's like a cult.
And the women, you know, just kind of stood and ate and everything. His wife, like, he's just sitting there drinking his beer, hanging out with his friends. And one of the guys had dropped a bottle of beer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Regina, clean that up.
Oh, God.
And so she's sitting there cleaning up this, and the man was so uncomfortable. He was like, no, no, I'll get it. I dropped it. And she was like, no, 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 it's okay. I'll get it, you know. And I'm thinking, battered wife syndrome here? What's going on, you know? And then as she's cleaning up, the phone rings. And he says, Regina, get the phone. I couldn't take it anymore. At that point, I said, why don't you get off your ass and answer the phone yourself? Can you not see she's cleaning up your friend's beer bottle? And yeah, Terry stood up and said, I think we're going to go ahead and go. So,
whoopsie.
Well, thank you guys all so much for listening to us. And as always, if you want to know more about Laura and I, please go to freewillhealing.com. Free Will Healing is a holistic healing center in St. George, Utah that Laura and I run. Mm-hmm. You can also hear us on Who Said You Have To, the podcast Who Said You Have To, and The Oracle and the Warrior. We're on every major podcast as well as Wisdom. And just taking a moment to, as always, say thank you so much to Deo and to Wisdom for inviting us onto this platform. We really, really enjoy it so much. And we love having all of you have the ability to chime in. Laura and I already know what we each think. We want to know what you think. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful rest of your week.
Yes. Peace.
If you have suggestions for topics that you would like us to cover or you have a question, please feel free to contact us via email at whosaidyouhaveto@gmail.com. If you would like to know more about Free Will Healing, Tina or me, visit our website at www.freewillhealing.com.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. Reviews are how we grow our listenership and allow everyone the courage to think for themselves with no fear or judgment.
Please check the show notes for all of our Who Said You Have To social media links on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can follow or subscribe to get updates for any upcoming events or personal appearances near you.